Listen to the wind blow.
Reach into the ocean.
Oh, wow.
Turn over the motion. Take a drink.
Wow.
Get your mind.
It's like if you can't visit the chain restaurant, you'll never eat a burger again. Just this is very good. Very good, Dom. Make this a staple.
All right.
Want this every show.
Knockoff barely. This is like when you really have to squint at the bag. The knockoff Gucci bag to determine that it's not Gucci.
Good stuff. I'm into this. Obviously, this is the Fleetwood Mac rights free.
Yep.
Love is a broken arrow.
And I'm into it. I want this every show.
It's great. I'm digging it.
It's called Broken Arrow.
Let's go. Hilariously close. And the start, the first lyrics really slayed me.
Legitimately, that could have been one of the Daisy Jones and the Six tracks, 1,000%.
So actually, the band is called Surrey Mac.
Surrey Mac?
Sure. Just adjacent to Fleetwood.
For real. Oh, you're getting
it. No, I made that.
Little local color there for Dom.
That was a good joke.
That was good.
Dom, you're on it.
You're really on fire today, man. You're back. You're running the board. You're in your element.
Yeah, killing it.
Rejuvenating.
Yeah, who needs a knob?
Nobody. All right. It's Canucks Talk. It's Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd, Thomas Durance, live from the Kintech studio. 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Dunbar Lumber, with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street, or Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, or Arbutus in Vancouver online at dunbarlumber.com. All right. Normally, we do it in the first segment of the show. Today, we had the crossover, so we move it to this part of the show. Let's do the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas, hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks today, January 24th. It is a Canucks game day. We'll start there with the headlines. Canucks play the Blues tonight at Rogers Arena, looking to go 4-0 on this homestand. A lot of focus on the lotto line coming into this one, and we can talk about that a little bit. We heard from Rick Tocchet early in the show, you know, it based on his commentary, and it was an optional game day skate, so we don't know for sure. Based on his commentary, I would guess that they're split up in this one. We'll see how that develops. You know, I did think it was also, as we just kind of dip into this game a little bit here, Drancer, hearing from Tocchet, you know, commenting on some of the things that have slipped in the team's game recently, but also talking about some of the things that he still thinks are really strong, and specifically mentioning protecting the middle of the ice. And as you were saying earlier in the show, the team's performance over the last few weeks has been really, really strong, in large part because of their defensive prowess, mm-hmm. right? And part of that is Carson Soucy coming back. I think part of that is the team executing, but that's something that I'll be watching for beyond the, you know, the drama of the lotto line and where they're playing. Is can they just keep this run of strong defensive performances going? No Carson Soucy in the lineup again, of course, tonight.
Yeah, and look, this Blues team is not what they've been in years past, but they still have a lot of one-shot scoring ability. You still have your Jordan Kyrou tier. You still have Rob Thomas, who's mm-hmm. legitimately one of the most gifted passers in the league. We saw them beat the Canucks the last two times, these teams met. And how did they do it? They did it off the rush. They did it with one-shot scoring ability, right? They did it by picking corners. And so you're going to have to be sharp tonight, because even if this Blues team can't control play at nearly, you know, the core of steel level that they did in their heyday, or when the Canucks defeated them in the playoffs in 2019, for example, 2020,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, they can still do damage. We've seen it. Be nice to see this Canucks team have a bounce-back defensive performance, right, against a team that defeated them when last they met. And, look, we should also mention this. At this point, you know, with Edmonton's steadfast refusal to lose.
Oh, my goodness. Unreal.
Like, you actually have to... The Canucks have had to stay this hot to maintain their edge in the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now Vegas looks like they're rounding back into form a little bit, and they'll get healthier here. I mean, you are one bad week away from being in a division title race. You know, you really are. Like, the Canucks are favorites. They should be favorites, but it, as we've seen with the way LA and Vegas faded over like a 2-week span, to not even being in the mix yep. to win the Pacific, things can change in a hurry in this league.
I can't believe how quickly Edmonton, I think they have like a 640 points percentage now. They were under 300
No, I know.
Well into the season. And now they're at 640. I cannot believe how quickly they have charged up the standings. Obviously, you know, a 14-game win streak, that'll help with that. And just the other thing on this game tonight, you know, one of the things we talked about and Tocchet talked about as well before this 5-game homestand got started was just having the maturity of a team and the focus and the professionalism not to let your game slip on these 5 games, right? Because you're back from the road after a long, really successful trip. You know, none of these are super marquee games outside of the Leafs game, obviously, on Saturday. You're looking ahead to the All-Star break, to the time off. You can understand how there would be some of that slippage. Somebody, I think, I want to say it was Colin in the Caribou, but it could have been somebody else yesterday, made a good point that, you know, one thing the Canucks have going for them in that regard is their next two opponents, St. Louis tonight and Columbus, are the two teams that they dropped points to on the road trip.
Right.
Right. Very, very recently, you've lost to these teams. So you hope that there's a little bit, you know, as you're looking for any of those edges to kind of use to motivate you, as athletes do over the course of an 82-game season, at least you can go into this game and the Jackets game on Saturday saying, hey, let's get revenge for those results. Let's go show that we're better than them. So I wonder if we do see a little bit of that in this one.
You'd hope so.
Tonight.
You'd hope so.
Yeah.
You'd hope so. So, yeah, no, it's going to be... Under the radar, this is perhaps a more interesting one than it looks on paper.
Yeah, for sure. That's fair. I mean, again, this is the last team to beat them in regulation. So we'll see. We'll see if they can reverse that tonight. To the broadsheet, I mean, we dipped into a lot of things with Rick Dhaliwal in the crossover. Always always good to get the updates from Rick. One thing I did just want to spend a minute or two on here is the Filip Hronek contract situation, which has just been so off the radar. And for some understandable reasons, because they have another even more high profile and more high stakes RFA situation to deal with, which was taking up a lot of the oxygen in Elias Pettersson.
And because Filip Hronek doesn't exactly put himself on the radar.
We don't hear a lot from Filip Hronek. No. He goes out there, he plays, that's it. But I mean, this is a big deal. Like, this is you went out and made a big splashy trade for this player. It has worked as well as you could possibly hope it to. He's been a perfect fit with Quinn Hughes. He's racking up points. He's playing big minutes. The coaching staff trusts him. All of these things are going right. It's just a fascinating dynamic, and it's going to be. And, you know, I know Rick was saying they're not in a rush to do anything with their UFAs. You know, we know where things stand more or less with Elias Pettersson. I'm really curious where this goes, when we start to hear more. And, you know, Rick again was saying this is not going to be an easy contract. There's layers to it, but it's a big deal. And I'm a little surprised that there hasn't been more, not necessarily negotiations between the Canucks and Hronek, but more just kind of rumblings and updates about where things stand. Because again, like, this is, you know, if absent Elias Pettersson, this would be a real front burner issue, I think, for this team.
You know, I don't think it's a huge surprise that we haven't got a ton of detail into exactly where this stands, because Hronek, even more so than number 40, I think has an interest, a material interest in accumulating in this current role over the balance of the season and seeing how far this team can push it. Now, here's the key thing about Hronek. Hronek's an RFA, and very much like Pettersson, right? He signed his second contract as a 3-year deal with Detroit, and so he's arbitration eligible. Now, there's certain data points that teams can present in arbitration and that players and their agents can present in arbitration. The things that really matter, though, for defenders in particular, time on ice. Well, Filip Hronek leads the Canucks in time on ice per game, 5-on-5, and production. And here's where it kind of is a little bit interesting. At, like, overall, Filip Hronek doesn't play a ton with power play one, right? So he's only got 9 power play points on the season. And frankly, a lot of that's come while he was with power play one, which, by the way, might be something that gets presented in arbitration, right? But he's only Quinn Hughes has more points at 5-on-5 than Hronek does among all NHL defensemen.
Wow.
Okay, and he's tied for second with Victor Hedman and Noah Dobson. Okay, he's on pace to have a 50-point season easily, like without a bounce. Outside shot that he gets to 60. And then here's the other big point that teams and you know, player representatives are able to present at arbitration. And this is where Hronek's case really goes up a level. I don't remember the exact legal wording, and you know how I prefer to use that, but it's to break it down, it's effectively like individual impact on team success. Okay. Filip Hronek comes in, right? Plays more minutes than any other Canucks defenseman. Produces like crazy. Relatively easy to make the argument that there's been a Hronek effect on Quinn Hughes. Look, and he absolutely hits the ball over the fences by absolutely every relevant metric by which these players are judged. You know, I'm not being, I don't think, too overly dramatic when I say he's going to arrive at arbitration with the best arbitration case we've seen a defenseman have since PK Subban. Right? And PK Subban settled. Like they had the hearing and then they settled, which you can no longer do. You get to the hearing, you're doing the hearing.
Yeah.
Players in this situation and teams tend to go long. Okay? These are hard ones to do in season, even when both sides want to do a deal. A good reminder for people is like Brock Besser was in this situation. Remember that got settled like right before?
Yeah.
With both sides throwing like late bows about the status of negotiations. For me, you know, if Hronek wants to amplify his leverage to the hilt going into, you know, contract talks coming off a career year, you want to play 82, you want to have 55 plus points, right? And you want this team to have won the division.
Do something in the playoffs as well. Yeah.
That would help. But even just winning the division, you know, and you say to the arbitrator, my client was their biggest acquisition. Like, he's the biggest difference in this team that was, you know, picked just outside the top 10 a year ago and now is. So I'm not surprised that it's gone, that it's been quiet. I'm not surprised. I won't be surprised if this one goes long, like right to the moment of the qualifying offer deadline or beyond, because it's a really hard one to exactly calibrate. The leverage is very much on the player's side. The player's rational self-interest probably should be to see what the market looks like before deciding to sign. It's definitely going to be a tricky one. It's definitely going to be an expensive one. That's sort of the basic shape of this.
I think the one key difference between Pettersson and Filip Hronek is that if I was Hronek's rep, it would be you're going to sign long term somewhere this summer, right? Because this is your platform year. This is an incredible career year for you to have. This is when you want to be signing a big long term contract. Whereas I think Pettersson has more of a track record, a little bit more flexibility. Do you want to go short term? Do you want to go medium term? I think there's more things that could make sense here. Where I think from Hronek's perspective is you are wanting to cash in with as much term and as much money, total dollars as possible, as you can after this deal. But as you said, for all those reasons, complicated one, probably something that's going to get done a lot closer to the summer with the way Filip Hronek is playing. Moving on the whiteboard, lineup notes from today. Casey DeSmith starts. Thatcher Demko gets the day off. Same 18 skaters will dress for the Canucks, so no other changes. That's per Rick Tocchet, who we heard earlier on in the show. As I mentioned as well, optional skate, so no line combinations. I believe yesterday at practice, the lotto line was together. Not a guarantee. We've seen other instances of Tocchet having, you know, a practice day before a game, certain combos that get changed up going into the game. So that doesn't mean anything. Hughes and Hronek were back together at practice yesterday as well. So we'll see if that returns against the Blues tonight. Playoff forecast on the whiteboard. As you mentioned, Oilers won again last night. 14 in a row, and per Dom's model, the Pacific Division, again, as I said yesterday, two-horse race. Canucks now at 56%. Edmonton all the way up to a 31% chance to win the Pacific Division.
Now, I'm gonna ask you, do you have it open?
Yep.
Edmonton Stanley Cup odds.
All right. 16%. They've taken the clear lead.
Now,
Jets and Bruins next at 10 and 11%.
Now tell me Vancouver, LA, and Vegas.
Vancouver is down to 4 because of Edmonton's strength, right? So Vancouver 4, LA 4. Where's Vegas here? Vegas 3. So Edmonton is gobbling up the Pacific Division Stanley Cup odds.
This is what is sort of an interesting dynamic. The model rates Edmonton as the highest true talent team in the league. Now, if you say, what? That's ridiculous. They don't have the defensive depth, the defensive quality, or the goaltending to justify that status, I would say you're probably not wrong. But the things they do well, the model mm-hmm. thinks are so important, right? The model thinks that their top end is so dominant that they're, you know, a wide, like not a wide, but like a pretty significant cup favorite. And in fact, the model is high enough on the other Pacific Division teams that that's what's preventing Edmonton from being like a 22.
Right.
Like if that was a Central Division team or a Metropolitan Division team, I think you'd see that number be in the mid 20s. Right, which is like where Boston was last year, and yep. where Colorado was a couple years, yep. where the Lightning have occasionally gotten to. So, just an interesting dynamic one to monitor, right? Like that model is pretty obsessed with the Edmonton Oilers at the moment.
Yeah, and I was actually scrolling through the player cards at the Athletic today for the Pacific Division, and of course the Canucks grade out extraordinarily well.
Yeah,
by those
Hyman,
metrics.
McDavid, and Draisaitl, and Bouchard, and Ekholm are all nuke.
That's the thing. You always hear, oh, two person team. You dig into this rating system at least, and as you said, it's Bouchard, it's Ekholm, it's Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, wow. it's Zach Hyman, who are all playing at elite levels right now for Edmonton.
I'm serious. Like Bouchard might be a Norris finalist. I don't think he's going to be a contender with the Hughes McCarr tier, and I think it's going to be Hughes's year, but I think Bouchard's going to be a finalist. I think he's going to be a very popular pick, certainly in the top five and probably in the top three, and that's on merit, even though I do think he needs Ekholm to elevate him. Like, his contributions on that team are huge. It's not just a two-man team. Edmonton also has a top pair that's playing as good as any other top pair in the league, and that includes Taves McCarr, and that includes Hughes Hronek. So, interesting.
I really want to see these teams play in the playoffs. Not in the first round.
Oh, they're fated to play in the playoffs. Because
I think it was Jay Fresh on Twitter who said, like, these. You look at the shape of their seasons, and these two teams are just, like, tied together. From the Canucks kicking off their heater with the 8-1 win, right? Clowning them that other time just before they fired their coach, and then them going on this crazy heater, well, trying to catch the Canucks in the Pacific.
How ridiculous is it? Since the New Year, which, I mean, the New Year's 24 days old. If anyone tells you Happy New Year at this point, it's like, you know, I think you can
get it together.
Yeah, you can definitely look them askance. These teams have combined to lose one regulation game and one game in a shootout, and both of those losses are Vancouver's.
That's unreal.
It's silly. Yeah. It's truly silly stuff. Let's go to the gambling odds.
Yes.
Canucks depends obviously on the book, but anywhere from -230 to -250 home favorites. That's pretty convincing. You can get 2-1 if you're laying money on the Blues money line, and the over under is set at 6.5, with slightly more action on the under, which is interesting to me. I guess these teams played a 2-1 game when last they met, but you know, both hyper efficient shooting teams, right? And you know, DeSmith's in as opposed to Demko. Yeah. I mean, you can get even money on the over in some places. If I bet on hockey, I'd be tempted by that.
That is the whiteboard for today, January 24th, on a Canucks game day against the St. Louis Blues. Just picking up quickly on the Hronek discussion we had there, somebody texted in, isn't the Devon Taves contract the perfect comp for the Hronek deal? Taves is going to be making $7.25 million on his extension that kicks in next year. I want to say it was a 7-year extension for Devon Taves.
It's a perfect comparable for the Canucks.
Mm-hmm. I would say the big difference there is the age, too, right? Because Hronek's still 25, and Devontae's, that one will be kicking in when he's 30, I believe, right? So you're buying years in the 30s rather than the last years of a player's prime.
The other thing is, remember what the reaction to that deal was.
What a sweetheart deal for Colorado.
Right? And now Taves, it was a win for Taves, too, because Taves' family settled there.
Mm.
He, you know, he'd been there for multiple years. He'd won a cup there. You know, Hronek's been here for a year and a half, right? It's hard to build as close a relationship without a lengthy playoff run as Taves will have built with Colorado. And then you sort of look through it and it's like, okay, well, they paid him a ton of term, right? Like, how did they get the cap number low? Well, as you said, right? It's because this deal takes him through his age 37 season.
Yeah.
Hronek can't sell those less efficient years this time. You see what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. it's like the dynamic is completely different.
Yeah, he's selling his prime years, the rest of his prime years.
Right.
The rest of his under 30 years.
And often, as we've seen increasingly commonly, players wanting to have the ability to hit the, you know, if you're Filip Ronick, who's going to be, what, 27? The first year of his next contract?
Yeah.
Right? So you don't want to sign a max term deal necessarily, especially at 7.25, and then hit the open market again as a 35-year-old, necessarily.
Yeah, Hronik's 26, so he turns 27 in November. But I don't know about that, though, because I think if I was in Hronik's situation, you have such an incredible year this year.
My point is you're not doing it at a discount.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to get what you want in some form or fashion. Maybe it's upfront money. Maybe, like, I don't know exactly what Hronik wants. And
of course not.
Probably
yeah.
won't talk to me on record about it anyway. But the fact is I just think the dynamic's different given their age and given how long tenured both players were. Definitely a good comp. Oh, you're playing me off.
Or Surrey Mac is playing us out today.
Definitely a good comparable, though, that the Canucks should absolutely aim for. That would be a home run. For Hronik.
All right, that does it. Enjoy the game tonight. We will be back on the show tomorrow here for more Canucks Talk. Sportsnet 650.